Okay, I've got this.
You've got this.
Hey.
Hi.
It's episode 2.
I'm Claire Wheeler.
I'm Wendy Halley.
And this is
Inside the Box. We are inside the box.
We are technically inside a box. We'll tell you about that
at some point
later.
Yeah, maybe months from now.
It's spacious yet cozy inside this box.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you need to know for now.
All right. So today's episode, Claire, is how to be professional.
How to be professional.
This is something we know a lot about.
Yes, I'm a professional almost every day of my life.
We're both professionals.
Yep.
And we're going to help you to be more professional. All right, so we're going to talk about several topics under the heading of professionalism.
Right.
The first topic should be what? How to talk to your coworkers.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe how to give and receive feedback.
Yeah, I love it. It's feedback is always a possibility. You can always choose to give feedback.
Yes, and it's not easy. What I find is that a lot of people, they avoid it.
Yep.
But yeah. we're gonna make it easy
yeah.
for you. Just give you some steps on how to do it, and we each have perspectives on how to do this.
Right. Yes. What's your preferred method?
I think there are some steps you can take, such as, let's say you have something you'd like to talk to a coworker about.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the first step is to ask that coworker for permission.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
I like that. So can I hear a little bit about what that would sound like?
Yeah, you'd say, hey, can we talk?
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. Can I try that?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, can we talk?
Like now?
Yeah, right now.
I can't do it right now because I'm doing this podcast, but maybe a little bit later.
All right. Okay. I think I've got it. So, okay. Ask permission.
Ask permission?
Yep.
And then step two would be that, let's say they say, all right, yeah, sure, let's talk. Because most people are going to want to talk right away because they know if you ask them to talk, they're probably going to be very curious, maybe even a little anxious about what you have to say. So then you find a private space. That would be step two. Find a private space to talk about whatever it is you need to talk about.
Okay.
Okay.
So that could be in a normal work setting. That could be like the boiler room, the stairwell, the bathroom.
Yep.
The roof.
In a stall in the bathroom.
Together in a stall in the bathroom.
The roof. Yeah.
The roof.
Fire exit.
Yep.
Office.
Mm-hmm.
Conference room.
Just somebody's office.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If somebody's in the office, you can ask them to leave.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All great suggestions.
Okay.
Right?
So to find a...
You want to do it private.
Find a private space.
Yep.
Okay.
And then
yeah.
you want to use words.
Okay.
That's how feedback happens, is you speak to your coworker with words. And my suggestion is to use I statements. Are you familiar with I statements?
I have heard about them before, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. It's not like eyeball, but it's I as in I am speaking to you, taking ownership of your words.
Yeah. It's almost like existential I.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's heavy if you start really thinking about it.
Like, but what is I?
Who am I? But it really,
where am I? Do I belong? Am I really here?
That would be an intense bit of feedback to... I don't even know if that would count as feedback, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, thanks for taking me down that rabbit hole with you.
I just kind of spaced out for a second and just needed
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, but it would not just be an I statement. It would be an I feel statement.
Okay.
I feel, then you just fill in the blank, whatever feeling you have.
Okay. I feel horny.
Yeah.
I feel dirty.
Dirty... horny?
No, or just dirty, like I forgot to shower today.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be really helpful feedback.
Yeah. So I say, can we talk?
Mm-hmm.
I bring somebody into a private room where nobody's around and I tell them I feel horny. That's how it works?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So I have an example of somebody who used feedback in this way, and they told me about it because I had taught a group of employees these steps, and it was great because one of the employees came back to me after the fact and said, I used what you suggested and here's how it went. And she said that her coworker, her office mate, in fact, was being really challenging. Mm-hmm. So she went through the steps. They had a private conversation and she said to her coworker, I feel like you're being an asshole.
That's exactly how you do it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How'd it go?
Yeah, I think her coworker got mad.
Oh, okay.
But point taken.
Feedback made.
Yeah, it's done.
Submitted.
Yep.
And then anything else that happens after the I feel statement?
No.
Okay.
That's it. You just, well, no, there's the job on the receiver's end, which is, can you imagine what that might be? What to do on the receiving end? Feedback?
I feel like active listening is probably something you're going to talk about.
You totally nailed it. You've done this before.
Yeah.
So you would listen. Mm-hmm. And how would you know that someone has heard you?
I think, what's it called when somebody says the thing back?
Oh, reflective listening?
Reflective listening.
I would just say, yes, reflective listening.
Yes. Right. You just listened on my answer of reflective listening.
Exactly.
Which is very meta.
So I reflected on your reflection of reflective listening.
Uh-huh. It feels a little wrong to reflect on a reflection. It just feels a little past the point.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a little like...
Well, you can have an opinion about this.
Where do we start and where do we go?
Yeah.
Where do we end?
Well, it's just about listening.
Okay.
And check.
Yeah.
Done it.
Okay.
Listened.
We listened.
We're good. Yeah.
And then you don't have to change anything. You just have to have listened.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Nailed it.
Feedback in a nutshell.
Right. It's that easy.
Okay.
It's that easy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have a couple of ideas on feedback.
Yeah. Let's hear what you have to say.
You know, one of them is, you know, I like to do a lot of activism and speaking up for what I think is important. And one thing we do in activism is nonviolent activism. And there's also this thing called nonviolent communication. So as far as I can figure, that's basically writing a big sign about what you think needs to be happening and just hold the sign up in the workspace, direct it at the person that you want to give feedback to. And then it's basically like that's nonviolent communication. You're not engaging directly. You're not hitting them. You're just holding up a sign that says to them,
I want to hit you.
I want to hit you.
That's fucking brilliant.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think it's taught differently, but I've never understood why I think this is the best way. There's another tool that to use.
Can you draw a picture? Like, could you draw a picture of you punching someone?
Yeah. Or, like, their skull getting crushed or, like...
God, that's great.
Or any kind of violent act.
Yeah, I love that.
But it's not violent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point. There's another mechanism that is frequently taught in the professional world, which is something called the feedback sandwich.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Ever had that for lunch?
No.
So this is the wisdom. This is what it says to do. So the feedback sandwich is basically a way to cushion in between two soft pieces of bread the shitty thing you want to say to somebody. So it's like a shit sandwich.
That's great.
So you basically want to say something nice and fluffy, then say the shitty thing. And then say something nice and fluffy on the
that
other end.
That is not manipulative at all.
Right. So you're basically convincing somebody that you're saying nice things about them and then subliminally.
Slipping in.
Yeah, exactly.
Slipping that in.
Slipping like, in that subliminal.
Yeah.
Salami. Other words that begin with S.
Sassafras.
So sassafras.
Yeah.
So it'd be something like, I don't know.
Situational.
Situational. Something. So just.
Are we moving on from the S words?
Well, I'm just going to use an example. Yes, we've moved on from
okay.
There.
So, yeah, let's hear an example of what this would look
right.
like.
Right. I haven't thought about this ahead of time, but here's an example. Like, hey, Wendy, nice socks. I feel like you're a fucking asshole. I hope you have a great weekend.
That's great.
Did you see that?
I feel really confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. And then maybe you'll go home and think about the middle part.
Yeah.
As you look at your socks.
Wait, the middle part was my socks. No.
No.
Asshole.
Yeah.
Asshole.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I could see how that would be really helpful.
Yeah. And I don't know if you noticed that, but I actually just, I gave you the feedback sandwich example, and I gave you the example that you were using, which is the I feel statement, two in one. That's what we call a twofer.
I think yours is more sophisticated, actually. It's really...
It's more manipulative.
It's a really beautiful design.
Yeah.
But you have to put a lot of thought into it. In fact, you might need to make notes before you give this kind of feedback, so you can, and maybe even draw a picture, a diagram of a sandwich, and then you write in the top part of the bread.
Yeah.
And put what the compliment is, and then in the middle you can write the, I think you're an asshole.
Right.
Followed by, have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend at the bottom. Yeah, I'd say if you were going to write it like on your hand or on a piece of paper, I would just say, and then if you were going to reference that for notes, I would just say, you can look at your notes when you're doing the first thing and the last thing, the two compliments, but I would just make sure to look up and deliver the middle piece directly. So like if you're going to be looking down to remember what it is you have to say, let that be in the compliment section, because it's just, you want to make sure that middle piece really hits them.
Do you use a different voice maybe for that part?
Yeah.
Do you say it louder, maybe get a megaphone or?
For the middle part?
Yeah, the middle part.
I would kind of like loosen up your voice and make it a little, like let me get a little higher when you're doing the beginning and end, the compliments, uh-huh. The bread of the sandwich. Hey, those are really nice socks. I feel like you're a fucking asshole. I hope you have a really nice weekend. So I think often like, we're impressed most by the last thing we hear. And so you want to leave, you want that nice weekend piece at the end to be really high-pitched, hopeful, happy.
It totally takes the sting out of it.
Yeah.
Out of the asshole part.
Right.
Man, that's great.
Yeah. So that's one way to be professional is to give really clear, direct feedback to your employees through one of those mechanisms.
Like a sandwich.
Like a sandwich. So we have some other topics we wanted to cover. Again, these are just kind of lessons learned in the field, as it were. I think one thing I like to do a lot to make sure that people know that I'm professional is make sure that I set up like an alarm on my phone, or just make sure that I ask a friend to call me in the middle of one important meeting, so that in that meeting when either the alarm rings or my phone rings, because the people in the meeting don't know the difference, I can say, hold on. I really have to take this, and then I can go into the other room. So there's a couple reasons why you'd want to do this.
Okay, please. Right?
So one is just to make it seem like you're more important than you actually are.
I love that.
That's classic.
I was wondering if that was part of it.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
Two is if you have to fart.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Right? And so
how would you time that, though?
Well, like if you just knew you had kind of a gassy breakfast, and you're probably going to have to fart in the middle of your next meeting.
And you're thinking, hey, friend, give me a call.
Well, or I mean, that's when you kind
of fart 30. Wow.
Fart 44, 45, I mean. Or, well, you could set the alarm in that case. You know, another reason that you might want to do this is if you are just needing to take a break from the idiot that you're talking to. I mean, sometimes you just need to walk away. But this is a really legit way to walk away.
Yeah.
But I think the more we can interact with our smartphones in the middle of in-person meetings, basically the more successful we become. It's like the more we can have a relationship with a device, the better off we'll be with people.
That's actually a good reason for me to get a cell phone.
Yeah.
I don't have a cell phone.
I've noticed this about you every time I've tried to call you.
Yeah. There's no number to call.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a hindrance for some people.
Have you ever thought about like a flip phone?
Flip phone. Wow. Yeah. That sounds...
They're new.
Really high tech.
Yeah, they're new. But it's like a good starter phone.
Acrobatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of the trend that cell phones are going in.
Would I look more professional if I had a flip phone?
Well, I think I think for you, actually, like in terms of image, if that's what you're concerned about, I'd consider a pager.
Image is everything.
Yeah.
We're going to get to that.
Right, we will.
Pager. Yeah. You know, I did have a pager at one point.
So you know what they look like.
Yeah, it never went off, but I felt really important. It was clipped to my belt.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that cell phones are often hiding in pockets, and so then you can engage with them in the middle of meetings like once something occurs. Mm-hmm. But with pagers, there's almost, if there's a pager in the room, nobody can stop looking at it. So it's like a built-in distraction.
No, I remember that. I actually went out and bought a series of belts that matched the pager so that people would look at the pager. They would look at a really sweet belt, too.
Is that real? No. Oh, I was like, that's just a cute thing I've never heard.
No, that would be fucked up if I bought belts.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's generally a good way to be professional is
is to basically
really know how to use your devices.
Yeah, and respect them more, or at least show people that you respect them more than them.
Yeah, they're a priority.
Over
make them a priority.
Over whoever you're
yeah,
with.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep.
Well, that's why there are games, right, on your devices, so you can engage with those games
yep.
instead of other people.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. That's good. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think what's really important is being a team player. You hear about that a lot. How to be a good team player. It's super important in the workplace these days. So I think there are some ways to be a good team player. I'm going to suggest some ideas here. Maybe you can help me with this.
Sure.
One of the things you can do to be a good team player is to give your coworkers a lot of compliments.
Nice. Yeah. I love compliments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like if I, we'll role play.
Okay.
You know, play with me here for a second.
Yeah.
Claire, your ass looks amazing in those pants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Yep. I can see how that, how you would feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel connected to you.
Yeah. That helps build the team if you give your teammates a lot of compliments. Mm-hmm. Really make them feel good about themselves and their work and mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of their assets.
Exactly. You get it.
I totally.
I feel really heard right now.
I like that you feel heard. You're a fucking asshole. And I hope you continue to feel heard by other people.
Wait a minute. You just went back to giving feedback. That's really, that was great. See, I recognized it. Yeah. Just,
together we can learn how to be better professionals.
You know? Yeah.
We can only help each other.
You're really good. Okay.
All right. So team players.
That's another compliment.
Thanks.
Yeah. So team players.
Yeah.
What you can do is you can contribute a lot of ideas too. Like if you're in a team meeting, just keep, you know, spitballing ideas. Mm-hmm. Just keep throwing them out there. Mm-hmm. A lot of ideas.
Okay.
Hey, yeah, what if we made paper airplanes mm-hmm. and then we stained some wood and then whatever it is, you yeah. just keep spitballing ideas out there.
Okay. What about spitballing spitballs? Does that help or?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Actual spitballs.
Mm-hmm.
I think often sometimes you get a straw and it comes in that paper wrapper.
Yeah, those would make great spitballs.
And yeah, I mean, yeah. That's basically
just
like
chew on them for
basically
a bit.
Just a, it's a pre-spitball wrapper. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. As many ideas as you can come up with, even if they're not relevant at all to the meeting.
Oh, I would think they'd be relevant.
Because they're coming from mm-hmm. a team player.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Well, because I think everyone's ideas count.
Okay. That's nice.
It's true.
Yeah.
Everyone's idea. Your ideas count, Claire.
Thanks.
Not as much as mine, but they all count.
Yeah.
In an even way.
Here's one idea I have. What about like a bread slicing machine that's made out of lasers? Because I think right now it's like a bunch of saws, and like I think you'd lose bread when the blades are going down and cutting the. But what if it was just laser bread cutting? What about that idea?
I think that's a great idea, and then you can make feedback sandwiches.
Wow. Ba-dum-bum. That's good. All right. Well, how else can I be a team player?
Okay. Be honest.
Okay.
You got to be really honest with someone.
No problem doing that.
Yeah.
Easy to be honest, especially to people you don't know that well.
I think being honest about hygiene is really important and valuable.
Give me an example.
Well, I think you need to brush your teeth more.
Mm-hmm. Really?
It was a hypothetical.
But
I don't really mean it. I wasn't being honest in that instance. I was just giving you an example.
Okay. How do I know if you're being honest?
Well, that is the trick, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. So honesty about other people's hygiene.
Well, this yeah, hygiene was just an example.
Okay.
Yeah, we could be honest about anything.
Like, yeah.
You could say to your coworker, hey, that's a shitty idea.
Nice. Yeah, I like that. Direct, clear.
Uh-huh.
There's no question about where you stand.
Honest.
It's honest. What else you got for the team player?
Show enthusiasm.
Oh. It's kind of like giving a compliment, but it's different because...
Yeah, you got to be really excited about people's ideas.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, give me an idea.
Okay. I think we should make socks that are sewn together.
hey, Claire, that's a great fucking idea. It sounds terrible, but it's great.
Okay, so this is kind of like the feedback sandwich thing where, like, I can't tell if you were actually enthusiastic about the idea, but honestly, like, who wants to pair all of their socks after they do their laundry? Like, it's a pain in the ass. So it's actually, it is a really good idea. Because if they're just connected.
You kind of lost me. What?
If the socks are just connected already.
Oh, well, actually, that is kind of a cool idea. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Here, I'll give you an idea, and then you can show me some enthusiasm.
Okay, that's How's great. That? Okay,
all
good.
All right. I think we should go through all of the files in the office, pull them out, make sure they're right, and then put them back.
Hey, I totally don't want to do that.
If I'm hearing you correctly, enthusiasm means a loud voice.
Right.
That seems excited.
Right.
It has like an excited tone to it, but the words don't really matter.
Well, I guess I'm kind of blending the honesty and the enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Because, you know, you...
That's a really
good idea.
Let's move on.
All right. Okay. My idea for being a team player is a pretty simple one. It's been used through the tests of time in America.
All of the tests?
All of the tests. Okay. All of them. All the standardized tests, at least. And that's simply to just get jerseys for everyone.
Great idea.
And if everybody's always wearing a jersey, then everybody knows that they
belong.
They belong.
There you go.
The challenge is when you start putting numbers on the jerseys, then it becomes a little bit of like a hierarchy. And so I think everybody should just have the number 0.
Makes sense.
Because nobody matters.
Everybody's even.
As much as anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly nobody matters. And so it's a very kind of zen mm-hmm. way of understanding teamwork. I think there's one aspect to being professional that we haven't tackled yet, and it's in some ways we might say it's the most obvious example of who is professional and who isn't.
Okay.
I think you gotta put on a suit.
You talking about dress?
I'm talking about dress code here.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, that's how we know who fucking matters right now, right?
Yeah.
Is, like, are you wearing a suit? Is the suit a little too baggy? Does the suit show off the worst qualities of your body? For me, it's mostly, does the suit cover up my pit stains? Because whenever I'm having to be professional, I get highly nervous and uncomfortable. And so pit stains ends up being a pretty big issue. And covering them up successfully is a pretty big test in being professional, I think.
I would shoot for a dark fabric.
A dark fabric is absolutely what you end up seeing. But yeah, I think there's windbreaker suits, like sweatsuits, you know, for the gym. There's clown suits for clowns,
uh-huh.
and then there's suits for professionals. And no matter what you're doing, you're looking like everybody else in your field, and that's how you know you've made it, is if you look exactly like, and as bland as possible. I mean, we're not trying to stick out, we're not trying to have a personality, we're trying to be professional, which is a very specific thing. We're talking tan, beige, blue, black, gray, no straying.
Okay. What about a power tie?
Tell me more. I don't understand.
Well, it would be, are you familiar with neckties?
Yeah, I've heard about neckties.
Yeah. Maybe you've seen them.
Yeah.
With people who wear suits.
Yeah.
A power tie would be just a very strong color, such as red.
No.
No?
Unless you're a politician.
Right.
I think Trump can wear a power tie.
He can?
I think he does.
He does, yeah.
I think he does.
He wears a very long power tie.
Oh, that's the other thing, is that when you're dressing up in a suit, you should make sure that your tie represents the length of your penis. Always. The longer,
that makes sense.
The more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it.
I have a powerful penis.
Right.
Yeah.
I think girth comes into play, too. So, like, the wider the tie, like, the more awkward the tie, the bigger, better.
So then what would a striped tie mean? It's a tough one.
It's a tough one. I'm stumped.
It's the age-old question.
Yeah.
What does the striped tie represent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's we'll have to get back to that one.
Yeah, we'll come back.
We didn't research that.
Maybe our listeners know. If you know, feel free to call in, listener. We miss you, by the way. Thinking about you right now.
A lot.
In the box. I think it's important to remember what you're looking like when you're
walking into a room and you want to presenting as a professional.
You want to make an impression.
You certainly do.
You want to make an impression.
By looking like everybody else.
Well, right. I have a dress code that I live by.
What's that?
I've bought a series of Levi's.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
I have my casual Levi's and I have my formal Levi's.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The formal Levi's are black.
Mm-hmm.
I get 501s.
Okay.
So button fly.
Yeah.
And
obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can do the formal Levi. You can do the informal casual Levi.
Uh-huh.
I think it makes a great impression and it says a lot.
I'm wearing Levi's right now.
Are you?
Yeah. It doesn't look like it, but they are. I mean, I was looking for the tag to show you. I'll show you inside the pants later.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
I think that's a really solid strategy because the key is that people know that you're trying. It's very obvious to people that when you rock in a room or they walk in a room and you're there, mm-hmm. that you are trying to conform to what their expectation is that you that you should look like.
Right.
I mean, trying to conform is really the key here. Looking like everybody else is the way that you stand out as a professional.
I really feel like if you want to make a big impression,
yeah,
wear a cape.
Wow. Right.
Yeah.
Because that's like a certain kind of professional.
Yeah.
The superhero.
It says a lot.
Yeah.
But I mean, the superhero thing is part of it, but not part of it.
It's not really part of it?
No, no. It just makes a statement. It's a wardrobe with a statement.
Yeah.
If you combine a cape with Levi's or enough. A suit or whatever, you would stand out. If you want to stand out in a crowd, wear a fucking cape.
Wear a cape.
Yeah.
It says a lot about your confidence, I think, when you wear a cape. I mean, it's Captain Confident, I think, is what I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
So what other kind of topics can we talk about for how to be a professional? Other pointers?
Well, one of the things that comes up a lot for folks, I think, is office romance. It comes up a lot.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
So what's your take on it? Yay, nay?
Oh, of course.
You're into it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It should happen. You think about much of your waking life is spent at work.
Right.
So, of course, you're going to find someone you're attracted to there.
Right. And Wendy, correct me if I'm wrong, but you work for yourself, am I right?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, so how's that going?
It's going great.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, so any pointers on how to do it?
Well, yeah, I think it's important that if you're cuz it can get a little sticky.
Yeah. Wow. That's what he said. It's hard to be so gendered about it all.
Yeah. It happens.
It does.
I think there's some guidelines we can help you with.
Mm-hmm.
If you find that you're attracted to a coworker,
okay,
or a supervisor.
Yep.
One of the things that you should incorporate in your office romance is good boundaries.
Okay. That makes sense, right? Like, so you can do it, but it just needs to be contained well.
Yeah.
So how do we do that?
If you're going to have sex in the office, wait until after hours.
That makes sense.
Or
before hours.
Lock the door.
Uh-huh.
Simple.
What about the shades? Blinds?
I guess it depends. Does your office have them?
Uh-huh.
If your office has them, great. You should shut the blinds. Shut the blinds.
Okay.
If they don't, then just don't look.
Don't look. Okay. That's another good boundary.
Yeah.
Yep. How else to do it well?
Use discretion.
In what way?
Well, let's see. If you really feel like you need to touch your office lover, and you're in a meeting, because sometimes you feel compelled in that way, I would suggest doing it under the conference table so that no one knows.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I had never thought about that before. Brilliant.
It's a really good idea. And the other thing you should do is, this makes sense. It's just a no-brainer, and I'm sure the listener will get this.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be adult about it. Just be a grown-up about the whole relationship.
Okay.
I have a great example, a great story to demonstrate how to be adult about an office romance. So a coworker of mine, we had met for lunch, me and another, there were three of us all together having lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our coworkers announced that she was having a relationship. She started a relationship with our supervisor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
I know. It was great. And she was very excited about it. And she said, at the end, she said to me, "How does it feel to know that I'm screwing your boss?"
Wow.
I know.
That's rich. How did it feel, Wendy?
I said to her, I kind of said what you said. I said, "Wow. Last I heard, he was your boss too."
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
And so they got married.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it wasn't awkward at all at staff meetings.
No.
Because she was married to the supervisor.
The supervisor, yeah.
Yeah. And so when they were having issues with each other, mm-hmm. it never, ever showed up.
Right. That goes back to being an adult, right?
Yeah. Like, in staff meetings, there was never any tension.
I bet. I can imagine they would have issues with each other if they were so in love. I mean, I can't imagine any kinds of challenges.
No, but if they did, just in the event that they weren't getting along,
yeah.
it absolutely was not that apparent.
No. Not clear at all, I'm sure.
In a staff meeting, like, he wouldn't roll his eyes when she would talk.
Ooh, yeah.
He would never do that much.
That's so loving.
Unless she really did say something that was kind of ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It was really just a stand-up, healthy office.
Adult to adult.
Romance slash marriage.
Yeah. It almost had nothing to do with the office, it sounds like.
Yeah. It wasn't even relevant.
Yeah.
That was a great example of how to do it well.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's wonderful.
Well, there are ways.
It's possible, huh?
Absolutely.
It can happen. Any other pointers on the office romance?
No. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I wanted to, there's something else you mentioned about meetings. I wanted to pick up on that. I'm glad you brought up meetings because I did want to just share a little how-to, and a lot of people struggle with this, and there are a lot of ways to do it, which I think is why there's a lot of questions out there, is how to design a good meeting agenda. And so
it's all about the agenda.
It's all about the agenda. My favorite kind of agenda, I gravitate towards the hidden agenda. I think it's really, really great when you, as the person who's running the meeting, calling the meeting, facilitating the meeting, whatever it is, don't let other people know what your plan is.
So it's like a sub-agenda.
It's a sub-agenda because if you, for example, are too hungover, if you didn't make the time to plan it, if you don't actually have a reason to meet, they won't know. But if you give them an agenda ahead of time, they're going to find out, you know? So the hidden agenda allows you to basically keep your positional power in place by forcing everybody to show up, even if you don't know what the hell you're doing there. So the hidden agenda, I think, is the number one pointer on how to make a good agenda.
Okay. What's the literal agenda then? The non-hidden agenda?
Yeah, so like in that kind of scenario, mostly it's going to be showing up so that you can have everybody pitch in on a problem that you need to solve.
Oh, okay.
You can think about a meeting as basically just like a chance to do work, but to have other people do it for you. Instead of you doing your own work, right? So if you're calling a meeting, there's no real agenda. You haven't told people ahead of time what's going to happen.
Mm.
You haven't disclosed the agenda of the meeting until the meeting actually occurs. You basically have like kind of open shop, like just kind of open hours to sort of bat around different ideas, get people to come up with new ideas that you were supposed to come up with last week, solve a problem that's arisen, anything you need.
So it's really a sophisticated form of delegation.
Exactly.
Really, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's really important. This is kind of implicit in everything I've already stated. If you say you're going to have a meeting, it's really important to have it, even if there's no reason to have it.
I can't agree more.
Yeah.
I've been to those meetings.
Right. And it doesn't it feel good to just have the consistency of knowing where you need to be? Even if there's somewhere else you'd rather be, at least you're like, at least I can count on this, that I'm at this meeting. And even though I don't know why, here we are. So yeah. Things feel right in the world.
Exactly. There's no frustration.
No.
You're just there.
Right.
You're part of a team.
Nothing else you can do. Yeah. Everybody's got their jerseys on.
You're following the agenda.
Yep.
Apparently there's a hidden agenda possibly
right there.
Maybe you're trying to figure out what that is.
Maybe. But I think, as a leader, as a professional leader, the best thing you can do is not let people down
by canceling a meeting because it's not warranted. Being professional means being consistent, and it means bringing people together, even if it's pointless.
You know, I think a really great way to illustrate this in a meeting is to go off on tangent.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So you take an idea and you run with it and you go anywhere you want. That's what's great about a meeting, is that it's really kind of a giant brainstorming session that can go off the rails at any moment.
I think the risk there is like other people might have other ideas, but I think if that happens, you just talk over them.
Mm. Yeah, cut them off.
Because how are you going to fully flesh out your idea if other people are trying to insert their opinions, you know?
You're really doing them a service by doing that.
Well, you're showing them what it means to be professional.
Yeah.
I think. You're teaching them. I mean, not everybody in the room has as much expertise as you or I might.
It's very true. Yeah.
So it's important to kind of show by doing.
Uh-huh.
Teach by doing. Teach by showing, I suppose, is what I'm saying. Yeah. You have any thoughts on meeting agendas and how to do it well?
No.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, that's what I got on that. So, I think...
What do you think?
I think there's one other thing that I think is, like, a trademark of being professional.
What's that?
And then I think we're going to move into our next segment, which is unpacking some of our favorite professional lingo.
Oh, yeah.
So, we want to demystify the words of the world for our listener. Okay, so there's like the dress code, there's some of the behaviors and the skills, meeting agendas and giving feedback that we've talked about so far. So these are all kind of like traits and skills you can develop to be professional. But there's one thing that really just proves it. And
can't wait to hear this.
Well, I'm gonna lay it on you.
All right.
Here's my card.
Oh,
what just happened?
Yeah.
What just happened?
It's magic.
Did your opinion about me just change?
I did.
In what way?
I feel that you matter.
Yeah.
In this way that I never thought you would have mattered before, because you have this card. And it's got embossed letters on it that make a big impression.
Yeah. The person that you're handing the card to has no idea that Moo.com was having a huge sale on embossing the week before when you bought them, right? Like, you can pay not a lot of money for a business card, but let me tell you, the kind of money that it will earn you when you hand that over unwarranted, unrequested, put it in people's hands so that they feel your professionalism through the sharp corners and their gamey, clammy little palms... That's professionalism.
It's definitely worked for me. My business, after I got business cards, I actually have three versions, different business cards.
Wow.
Yeah.
That means you're like a triple professional.
Yeah, and my business totally reflects that.
Yeah.
Yeah. After I started handing out business cards, it just, my numbers went through the roof.
Wow.
It's incredible.
Wow.
It's incredible. Font.
Yeah. So what did you choose for font?
I chose some letters.
Uh-huh.
That had shapes to them.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. Kind of a style.
A stylized letter is what you chose.
Exactly.
Cool. Okay. Yeah.
Really sharp. Really sharp.
Yeah, and I mean, you can choose nice images, you can choose nice fonts, you can choose nice colors, but I think ultimately the real leverage point on a business card is the title.
The title, yep.
There are so many titles in the world, right? There are many we recognize and respect. CEO, executive director, chief operating officer. But there are also many that we don't know and still respect because it's a title.
Like, what's your title, Claire?
My title is, I do some things for some people, and they pay me money.
Does that fit on one line?
It's a couple lines.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it's like, comma, you could be one of those people. Call me.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah. I did a little internet research about some of the best job titles of all time.
Okay.
And I wanted to share some.
Oh, please. Yeah.
So here's a good one. Chief Hooker.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Chief Hooker.
Yeah, that's from from somebody who does cable yarding systems. So somebody like puts together different cables.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. They do some hooking. in the manufacturing world, there's a position called an erection engineer.
Of course.
In the nonprofit sector, you can be a domestic violence coordinator, where you're actually
powerful person
coordinating.
Wow. Yeah. DV coordinator.
DV coordinator. The titles that I really like are like the titles that mean absolutely nothing. Here's a good one. Social media thought leader.
What does that mean?
Right. Chief innovation officer is one I see a lot where it's kind of like, okay, so you come up with new ideas and you're paid a salary. That makes sense. Ideation director. Cause that's clear.
For people who are suicidal.
Right.
Okay.
So it's a psychologist joke. I think the title is something to really focus a lot of your time and energy on, because you can basically come up with anything, and then as long as you say it's your title, people will be like, oh, this person's a goddamn professional. Quick recap, giving feedback.
Yep, giving and receiving feedback.
How to use your device in a way that is more important than the person that you're talking to.
Yep.
Being a team player. What else we got?
We got dress.
Yeah.
How to be...
Dressing like a professional.
Professional in your dress.
Right.
We have office romance.
How
to do it right.
How to do it.
Yep.
All night.
Agendas, business cards, titles.
Yeah. That's a pretty solid tutorial.
Yeah. I think the folks listening, the person who's listening...
Yeah.
...is all set.
Yeah.
I think they're all hooked up.
Ready to apply for your next professional position.
Exactly. Or if they're already working someplace, it's going to be a game changer.
We wanted to bring in another segment, which is professional lingo, which is different than bingo in that it's more boring.
And there's a letter that's different. Instead of a B, there's an L.
There's an L instead of a B.
Yeah.
Depending on how
Either
you look
way,
at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It depends on if you're left-handed or right-handed.
So, we thought we would come up with some of our favorite professional lingo. Give you an example of how it's used, so that then you can kind of just take it and run with it. So,
yeah. You'll fit right in if you use this lingo or these phrases.
Right. If you're ready to apply for a job as a result of listening to this podcast, that's really great. But then you might get an interview. And then the interview is where you're going to drop these bombs of wisdom. These are kind of like packed full. Each one of these pieces of lingo is just packed full of professional power. Okay? That was a lot of P's that I put in there because I was trying to make a really big point, which is another P. So if you drop one of these nuggets of wisdom, you're going to get the job without a question, because they're going to be looking at you and they're going to think, this dude's a professional.
What are they? What do you suggest people use?
I think you actually just used one of them.
What was it?
Oh, I wrote it down because I think it's a really important one. And that is game changer.
Yeah, I could see that.
So game changer.
Game changer is a game changer.
Yeah, it's totally a game changer in the world of lingo. So game changer is a word that you want to use when you think that you're supposed to think something about an idea, but you don't know what the person wants you to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically like a fill in the blank for like having an opinion without actually having an opinion. So let's use it in a sentence, for example. I want you to propose a new idea to me.
I think we should change all the light bulbs.
Wow, that's a real game changer. See that?
Yeah, I feel really important now.
Yeah, I mean you could...
Like I came up with a really great idea.
Right, mm-hmm. like you could be promoted to chief innovation officer. So, yeah, so game changer I think is a really important one.
When you need a fourth business card.
Right. Do you have any lingo that you'd like to impart on us?
Yeah, I think if you use a phrase like, we're going to run it up the flagpole.
Yep.
It shows the people you're talking to or the person you're talking to that you're going to take their idea really seriously,
mm-hmm.
but you need a little time. I'm going to run it up the flagpole. Or maybe I need to consult with somebody important
mm-hmm.
about your idea.
To be able to come back to say...
Yeah, come back around.
It's not right.
Possibly.
Maybe you need an excuse.
There's a good chance that I don't really like your idea, but I'm going to run it up the flagpole anyway.
But I'm not going to be honest with you right now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to run it up the flagpole instead and then see what the flagpole has to say about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good one. I like that one a lot.
Thanks.
Yeah. So here's one for me. I really like this one. That is the term ROI.
Yeah, I've heard of that one.
So ROI stands for... Yeah, it's our friend Roy, first and foremost,
uh-huh.
But Roy spelled in kind of a fresh new way, not R-O-Y.
It's very 2000s.
It's R-O-I, right? So more of like an Android robotic Roy. But ROI stands for return on investment, and you want to use...
No shit.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You want to use ROI when you know something's a bad idea or you feel like something's a bad idea, but again, you don't want to be honest with the person that it's a bad idea. So instead, you want to question the ROI of that idea. In other words, instead of calling out the idea directly as a bad idea, you want to call out the fact that it's not going to bring the company very much return on its investment.
Okay. So ROI stands for?
Return on investment.
Which means return on investment.
Well, actually, it means... a return on the investment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see the difference.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, you want to make sure you're getting your money's worth.
Right. So let's use the same example that we used last time. So I want you to give me an idea.
Light bulbs?
The one about the light bulbs.
All right. Yeah. I think we should change all the light bulbs.
I don't know. I'm just not sure that has a great ROI.
But what if it does?
But what if it doesn't?
Ooh. I got to run that up the flagpole.
Nice. Well done. All right. Picking us up, everybody?
It's easy.
You got another one?
Sure. Networking.
Mm-hmm.
Networking is a really important word to use because it lets people know that you're connected. And do you know what it means, networking?
I actually don't know what it means.
Really? It means that it's a computer term.
Okay. I don't know much about computers.
It means that you know a lot about computers, that you are networking.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like you're one with the computers.
That's what that means?
Yes.
Huh. I guess I never really knew.
Yeah, when you hear people talking about networking, that's what they're talking about. They're talking about they're probably just high-tech people who are in the computer world.
So when they are going to a networking event, are they just kind of sitting room of computers?
It's a computer event.
Wow. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Because people talk about how important it is, and I think we are living in sort of like a technological world now.
You think so?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Goes back to my earlier point about the smartphone, how to use your device.
Yeah.
Again? Yeah.
You're making a lot of sense tonight.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you too, mostly.
Thank you?
Yeah.
I was honest.
Yeah. Well, I've got one more.
All right. What else do you have?
And it's also a computer term. It's the term bandwidth.
Let me think about that for a second. Bandwidth.
Bandwidth. So...
Does it have to do with musicians and how fat they are?
You'd think it might have something to do with that, but it turns out...
Am I being too literal?
Not at all. You're perfect the way you are.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. But bandwidth is something that... The way to use this term is similar to a lot of the other terms that I've shared... When there's something that somebody wants you to do and you don't want to do it, you blame it on bandwidth. Maybe come at me again with that idea of changing the light bulbs, but suggest that I am the one to do it.
You know what would be great? I was thinking if you changed all of the light bulbs.
Hey, you know, that does sound like a good idea. I just don't have the bandwidth right now.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Right? So even if you don't know what that means, it's very convincing. And you get to blame something else that sounds technical and very absolute and maybe even like something that's really measured, like mm-hmm. that actually has a limit, instead of being honest about not wanting to do it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'll have to put a pin in that.
Nice.
So well I can remember it.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think that's another computer term, right?
Sure. Or it could mean one of those push pins.
Right. I mean, push pins come from Google Maps. You use push pins to identify locations.
I don't know. I think they actually came from something in the Victorian era.
Huh. Well, I mean, it could be one of those chicken and egg things.
Could be. We can put that idea on the back burner.
Yes.
Or in the parking lot.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a really nice way to put someone off. And say, you know, like, hey, I hear what you're saying, but we don't have time for that right now. In other words, I don't have any desire to talk about what you're suggesting or bringing up. So I'm going to put it in this kind of ethereal place called the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Or on the back burner.
Right.
Because that's where you put things that are simmering.
Right. Right. But never completed.
Never come to fruition.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just keep simmering it until it just boils off and there's nothing there.
Nothing left.
Yeah.
Yeah. That poor back burner.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it feels useless. The burner itself. Yeah, back burner's a really good one.
I've never asked one.
Yeah. Well, maybe next time we can interview one.
I'm sure that would be fascinating.
Yeah, that's what I got for lingo. Do you got any more?
No. Do you?
No.
No, I think that's it. I think that's all the lingo there is. I don't think there's any other.
Right. There's no need to look up any others.
No, we've covered it all.
Yeah, I think if you could use all of those words in one sentence or one conversation, you will
so impressive.
Get an instant promotion. I can't imagine a world in which.
And if you're saying that while wearing a cape.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Look out, world.
Oh, you're winning.
Yeah. We are, aren't we? Wendy, I haven't checked the podcast voicemail or email in a while, but did we have any sponsors interested in this episode?
Oh, yeah. We have a couple of sponsors.
Okay.
We'll leave you with those sponsors right now.
And now, a message from our sponsors.
This episode of Inside the Box is brought to you by menopause. Going through it will put hair on your chest. Literally. It's no joke. And by Betty B's hair removal strips. Betty B's. She has a patented interlocking hair follicle system that will gently coax unwanted hair and skin from delicate areas. Betty B's. Fuck that up. Betty B's hair removal strips. They're not that painful.
5, 6, 7, go.
Hey, thanks for listening.
This has been Inside the Box.
And please subscribe.
Yeah, we like that.
We absolutely do.
Hey, Wendy.
Yeah, Claire?
I like you a lot.
Oh, thanks.